Good morning, friends. My name is My name is Anne. I am your stewardship chair. I have been an active parishioner at St. Timothy's for more than 33 years, and I can honestly say that I have never felt more hopeful than I do right now about who we are. John, you're here. It's so good to see you. Sorry. I can't help it. That's why I'm hopeful. I've never felt more hopeful than I do right now about, and I mean right now, about who we are, who God is, and how God will use us to make a difference in the world. We kicked off this year's stewardship season with a ministry fair. That was Teresa Peters' wonderful idea, and I want to thank her and all the volunteers she recruited for their amazing work. You can see the incredible list of ministries St. Timothy's parishioners are involved in posted on the wall in Edwards Hall. Check it out. Thanks also to Ross and Janet for sharing their stories of hope and stewardship these last 2 weeks. And Reverend Lisa, thank you for helping us distill lessons of hope through Scripture and through the teachings of Martin Luther King Jr. We've had a wonderful and thoughtful discussion. We are now at the final Sunday of our 2017 stewardship season. I asked Lisa how she saw this in-gathering celebration playing out. Turns out that was a dangerous question. She looked me straight in the eye and said, "You are going to preach. Wrap it all up with a big, beautiful bow." After I caught my breath, I said, "Okay, but only if I feel like I have something meaningful to say." So I looked up the scripture for this Sunday, saw that it was the parable of the talents, and thought, "Dang it, I think I do have something to say about that." So here goes. Most of my friends and family, and even my Pilates students, know that I have a few tried and true life mottos. They are, food is medicine, motion is lotion, and to those who have been given much, much will be expected. I believe everything comes down to stewardship. Every blessing we have been given is meant to be recognized, multiplied, and shared with others for the building up of the kingdom of God. In many ways, Jesus' parable of the talents is pretty straightforward and an excellent way to wrap up stewardship. But let's dig deeper. To begin, let's talk about what this parable is and what it is not. This parable is about judgment, but it is not about condemnation. Dwelling with God is a decision we make every day, and it is not just a choice for eternity. This parable is about stewardship, but it is not about competition. Having 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent doesn't make us more than or less than. This parable is about who God is and who we are as his beloved children. It is not about who we think God is and who we wish we were. We are made in God's image. He is not made in our image. The word talent may be an obstacle to our modern understanding of this parable. Whenever I have difficulty understanding a parable, I like to substitute other words to see if that helps me gain insight. Another one of my favorite methods of understanding spiritual principles is to use fitness analogies. This works surprisingly well for me. I hope it helps you too. It's as if there was a master fitness trainer, and she wanted all of her clients to get stronger. To one client, she gave a set of 5-pound weights. To another, she gave a set of 2-pound weights. And to another, a set of 1-pound weights. She showed each of them some basic exercises and then left on vacation for a month. Eager to increase her strength, the client with the 5-pound weights lifted them regularly until her muscles grew in both endurance and strength. She began to notice how much easier it was to lift her children into their car seats and bag the canned food at the homeless shelter where she volunteered. The client with the 2-pound weights also regularly lifted her weights and noticed a great improvement in her fitness level. She was so inspired that she decided to teach others how to lift weights. But the client with the 1-pound weights mistakenly thought the master trainer was mean and demanding and just wanted to hurt her. The weights felt so heavy, she was afraid to lift them, so she stashed them in her locker. When the master trainer came back from vacation, she commended the first 2 clients. "Nice work. Now it is time to progress to more advanced exercises." Then she looked for the client she had given the 1-pound weights to. But she was nowhere to be found because she had canceled her gym membership. All right, I may have taken that analogy just a bit too far. But the point is, use it or lose it. Muscles that don't get used don't develop. I believe Jesus is asking us to risk discomfort in order to grow stronger in faith. The way our physical muscles grow stronger is through what exercise physiologists call overload and adaptation. We give a muscle just a little more than it wants to lift. This creates micro tears in the fibers of the muscle. When those micro tears heal, the fibers become both stronger and more numerous. And that healing process is when you feel that little bit of delayed onset of muscle soreness the next few days. In layman's terms, we call this no pain, no gain. Note, a good trainer knows how to increase the resistance level of exercises in a gradual way that does not lead to injury. Our spiritual muscles develop in much the same way, overload and adaptation. They get stronger when we use them and atrophy if we ignore them. God asks us to extend ourselves just a bit beyond our comfort zone so that we will grow in faith and trust. Years ago, Dave and I took a leap of faith and began tithing, giving back 10% of our income to St. Timothy's. It was a little scary and a little painful, with a mortgage and two kids to put through college. But every year, it became easier and easier. We have never regretted this decision. What was once a heavy lift now feels much lighter. And we have been blessed beyond measure. We are truly honored to be fully invested in this amazing community where hope is in big supply. Getting back to the parable. In Jesus' time, a talent was a measure of weight and later of money. 5 and 2 and even 1 talent were all actually very generous sums. Another word we could readily substitute for talents is blessings. God gives them in only one measure, abundantly. The first two servants feel blessed by their master's gifts. They understand the master has entrusted them with something valuable. They are eager to please the master and make haste to double their blessings. The third servant feels cursed, and by cursed I mean burdened. He's cursed by the gift, supposing that the master wants to do him harm. When you distrust the giver, you misuse the gift. You might hold on to it tight, you might squander it, or you might even bury it. What accounts for this difference of feeling blessed or feeling burdened by God's gifts? I believe the 5 and 2 talent servants joyfully invested their gifts because they know something about the true nature of the master, the giver of all good things. They know him as loving and forgiving and generous. Perhaps they have noticed through years of working for him that he has made sacrifices on their behalf. They know it is okay to take a risk and that it is a waste to play it safe. But the 1 talent servant is filled with fear and dread, perceiving the master as a harsh man, reaping where he does not sow and gathering where he does not scatter. This misinterpretation of the master's character dooms the servant. Why bother doing anything with that talent or blessing if the master's intentions are only to harm him? The unfaithful servant falls into the trap he has set for himself and misses out on the joy of dwelling with the master. The truth is, we are all a little bit like each of these 3 servants. Some of our blessings feel like blessings, and others feel like burdens. We are good stewards of some of our blessings and poor stewards of others. Sometimes we open our eyes wide enough to notice who God really is, and sometimes we are blinded by our own worries and doubts and fears. But there is hope for us because our God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. In recent weeks, I have begun a ministry of visiting women at Elmwood Jail. On one of my first visits, the chaplain was giving me a tour of the jail, and after seeing women walking through the yards in shackles and praying with others through their solid metal cell doors, I'll admit I was a little nervous and overwhelmed. Chaplain Liz showed me to the volunteer room, which was actually a closet, where books and Bibles are stored and inmate requests for reading materials are processed. It was in that closet that God blessed me through another Christian volunteer. A beautiful woman I had never met before greeted me warmly and laid her hands on my shoulders. She said, "Because God has given you a heart for this ministry, he will bless your work here." That volunteer gets who God is and how he works through us. She knows that God gives us gifts like a longing for justice and a desire to give hope to the lost and forgotten. God gives each of us the gifts and resources we need to do his work in the world. Maybe it's a voice to sing his praises, nimble fingers to weed church gardens, clear minds that make wise decisions, enthusiasm for welcoming the stranger, or patience to teach children. In our discussions about hope during the point, we have talked about how hope grows. Hope flourishes in community. Despair can only survive in isolation. We also realize that hope is contagious. So if hope is contagious, it's a good idea to find somebody with the disease. If you are not sure who God really is and how he wants to bless you, start hanging out with some people who do. Get a spiritual workout buddy. If you have been burned by religion in the past or taught to fear God, then relearn who God really is from someone who knows Jesus personally. There are lots of us here. Find a covenant group that will support you. Attend the men's retreat or the women's retreat. Join a ministry that interests you. Start hanging out with people like Katie Fanton, who loves the Lord with all her heart and sings and preaches and prays with women in jail. Go to the Day Worker Center with Teresa Peters and her kids. Watch how she cares. Watch her teach English and speak Spanish. Gather some friends like I do, Susan Slakey and Grace Schmidt, and meet monthly for dinner to encourage each other. Attend a vestry meeting and see how much work goes on here behind the scenes. Go with Althea Parks to visit parishioners who can't get to church and see how our worship and Eucharist extend beyond this building. And please, if you are hurting and having trouble hoping, please ask for a Stephen minister. They are serious hope machines, spiritual master trainers. And if you feel blessed and have a pretty good idea who God really is, find someone to share that with. Study scripture together. Pray for each other. Invest in that friendship and share what you know about the Jesus who risked everything to save you from hopelessness. You will be encouraged right back. God gave you that gift so that you would multiply it. Take the risk, invest the blessing, and watch how God will grow it. So yes, I am so hopeful. God has sent us a new rector who is as lively and lovely as she is committed and compassionate. We have been given a whole new family, a family that packed up their entire lives and drove across the country to invest in a new life with us, to partner with us in ministry. What a gift. My friends, we are a 5-talent, 5-pound, 5-blessing bunch. Now is the time to flex our muscles. We are wealthy beyond our wildest dreams. There is much work to be done, and fear will not serve us. Our hope is in Christ, and he needs to use our hearts and our hands and our feet to reveal it to the world. We are his living, breathing, loving, bubbling hope machines. Let's choose today to serve eagerly and joyfully and listen for the voice of the Master saying, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your Master."
But I just want to say thank you for that. Anna's worked really hard on our stewardship campaign, and she has really prayerfully done this and really kept hope at the forefront of everything that she's thought about. So I really appreciate that.